to read the Psalms and to, in our own way, to discover what it is that the psalmist is experiencing, and if we ourselves can come to that place too. So Psalm 143, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground, he makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah, that means just think about that. In this song, it's a really just for a moment, just think about what has just been said. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. May God bless that reading of his word to us. Last week I suggested that we focus. This morning my suggestion is that we meditate. Oh, now what are you saying, Paul? Well, let me explain where I'm coming from and what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting each one of us to understand what the Bible teaches and how we should be responding. The day in which we live is filled with all kinds of half-truths, and it is so easy to fall into error that we need to have a firm foundation. We need to have a firm grounding on what the scriptures teach us, what the Bible teaches us about God, about ourselves, about where we are. And it is that relationship with God that I want us to understand. I mentioned and I touched on some things last week when I said that there are some so-called exercises or so-called things to do if you're experiencing certain, if you're in turmoil, or if a way to discover peace. And the devil is very cunning in the way in which he plants ideas into people's minds, and they suspect that they are going in the right direction when in fact they are not. There are two key things that are regular exercises that are are considered to be of help, and it's considered to be acceptable, and it's considered to be something that we would all benefit from. And one is called yoga, another is called Tai Chi. Let me say something about, first of all, yoga. Yoga is really based on Hinduism. And all the positions are positions that are taken up to try and portray the various gods of Hinduism. And many people will say, oh, the exercises are good. But the reality is that when, amongst everything, you are told to take up the postures to get into God's presence or redefine, there are many ways in which it is suggested. But the fact is that yoga is not from God. Yoga is something that the devil is using today to get into the minds of people. It is something that is acceptable in Hinduism. Graven images are there, and devout Hindus manufacture and worship graven images. And as I said earlier, yoga postures are designed to form one's body into the likeness of animals, birds, insects, snakes, fish, and many more, all of which are understood to be deities within Hinduism, as is man himself. Yoga is both a spiritual and physical technique designed to restore a spiritual connection, but it is not from God. There are beliefs that yoga can help prolong life. Yoga is a spiritual discipline of the body, mind, and soul, teaching that the spiritual condition of death and separation from God can be remedied by man's capability through self-hypnosis, mental gymnastics. Hinduism, similar to all Eastern mysticism, sees body, mind, and soul as a whole oneness, and each person as part of the wholeness of life, nature, and the cosmos. We need to beware of the illusion. In fact, it does not teach a high view of man. We are on a par with all of creation, and that is not what the Bible teaches. I want to come to that in a moment. But I want to warn you that there are those who will claim that Hinduism, that yoga is acceptable, and they will sometimes describe it as Christian yoga. How wrong. How wrong. I believe in this day and age we need to hold on to the truth of what the Bible teaches us about God, about man, and about the way in which we can approach God. Another comes from a Buddhist culture or a Taoist culture. It's called Tai Chi, and it's a popular. People see it as good exercise because the movements are slow. Tai Chi is it can be translated as supreme ultimate force. It's a martial art, or it's often called a moving meditation, since the movements are done slowly and deliberately, and is taught more as a meditative and health-enhancing practice than as a martial art. Though its origins are unclear, the founder is the Taoist belief in a universal energy called Qi, or Qi. It's believed to be the binding life force in the universe, existing both externally and internally, moving through invisible channels in the body called meridians. Taoism teaches that strengthening and reinforcing one's inner Qi will bring good health and long life, as well as spiritual benefits. Certain breathing techniques, meditations, and bodily movements are taught to cultivate and enhance the qi. The belief is the basis of Tai Chi. There is no supreme God or creator in Taoism. All originated from the Tao, which is an impersonal principle or source of creation. From the Tao come yin and yang, two forces that manifested in creation. These forces appear opposite, but actually are in a state of constant flux, merging with each other. The chi flows more harmoniously when yin and yang are balanced. This balance is brought about through special diets, herbs, exercises, breathing techniques, and bodily movements. It has a worldview at odds with the Christian worldview. It's based on a spiritual view of the body and the chi and how to enhance the chi, a view incompatible with how the Bible tells us we were made in God's image. Jesus Christ created and holds the world together, not Tao or an invisible force called chi. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Doing Tai Chi, even for physical purposes, is paying homage to a spiritual belief system at odds with God's word. Please beware of the devil who is coming as an angel of light in the world in which we live, where the vast majority of people talk about a great power, the higher power, about being at one with nature. Let us understand this, that we are created beings. The Bible teaches us that. God created. In the beginning, God. And God sent his Son into the world for us. And when people are taught to meditate, this is another aspect, as yoga is told, you're sometimes told to empty your mind. I remember a lady saying to me, who had been a yoga teacher, saying to me, I just can't accept it anymore. I used to teach it, and she said, it never seems right to empty your mind. In fact, the Bible teaches the very opposite, that our minds need to be renewed. We need to be recognizing that which God has done for us, how he is revealing himself. Yes, he reveals himself through creation. But the universe is not the power. The universe was created by God. You hear these people, and it will be some truth, but the truth is warped, just as Satan in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Be aware that he is seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture tells us in the last days, many will leave the truth and follow these other teachings. And these teachings are becoming more and more popular and more acceptable in our day and age. If we are to experience meditation, the meditation should be on the Word of God, on what God has revealed to us through Jesus. It is not wrong to do exercise, but it is wrong to do exercise thinking exercise is going to bring you to God. More and more people are being led in that direction. I believe in these days we need to be clear about what we believe. How should we meditate? How should we? What does meditation mean? It means to pause and think and reflect and wonder. The psalmist in this psalm says, I meditate on all your works. I've given you a piece of paper, and I've given it you so that you can write down anything that you need to, but I'm going to ask three questions. And I'm not asking you to hand in, but I want you to just examine for this morning to go through a kind of exercise of meditation. To understand, to stop and pause for a moment. First of all, the psalmist in this psalm says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. He is in the here and now, but he is thinking back. He is looking back over his life and thinking of how God had worked, and thinking back through history, how God had revealed himself, how God had been with his people, how he had delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt, that great power of the Egyptians could not hold God's people down. They got out because God led them out. And so he is saying, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works. So I want you to look back. Think through your life to where you have been, where you were. Is there a time in your life when you look back, when you came to that understanding that God loves you, that Jesus came into the world for you, that Jesus died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of your sins? The psalmist says, no one living is righteous before you. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. We cannot be good enough. All fall short of the glory of God. We all need God in our lives. We need his forgiveness because we have sinned. Sin is part of our nature. So where were you? Where have you been? Is there a moment in your life when you handed over to God? And since that time, have you seen the way in which God has been with you? How he has helped you? How he has promised? Joshua was told he was going to take leadership of the nation of Israel. And God told him to be strong and of good courage. And he says this, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise. Remember Jesus when, before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. We need to spend time reading, listening, meditating upon what God is saying to us through it. Where were you? Where have you been? So look back. Look back at history and see how God sent his Son into the world for us. And he should be the focus. He is the one that we need to focus on, not some abstract being. Jesus came so that we can see somebody. He came, he was God manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's fact, it's history. It's something that we can hold on to and be firm about. Meditate where you were. Maybe you want to write something back as you look back. Maybe there's some time when you really felt so lost and then God came and lifted you up. The psalmist, as he's meditating, he is thinking back. But he is meditating on all your work, seeing all that God is doing. All that God has done, all that he is doing now. Let us be open to God. Let us not be closed, but be open to God and know that the only way that we can come to know God is through knowing Jesus, not through exercise, not through any of those other things. That's a false God. That's the God of this world, who is Satan. He said, I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I want you to focus on the cross. Behind me is a cross that is empty. But one time there was one who died on that cross for you and for me. He took our place. The Bible tells us quite clearly. He died that we might have life. Think of all that God has done. He has brought you here for this moment in time. We as believers need to be those who will meditate, but not that abstract meditation, but wondering at God and his love for us and how he wants us to be a sanctuary, a place where his spirit dwells. That is so mind-blowing, but it's where we need to be. We need to be open to God as we focus on Jesus, allow his Holy Spirit to infill us and indwell us. So where are you now? You know, it is one of those situations where we need to look at ourselves because we can't do anything. The past is the past. Here and now we have an opportunity. Here and now we have an opportunity to change our focus if we have been going in the wrong direction. The psalmist in his prayer, he says, teach me to do your will. Show me the way I should go. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's Jesus who will show us the way. The psalmist in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not an abstract God that we worship. It's a God who has revealed himself in Jesus. Please understand that. The Apostle Paul, as he is sharing with the church, he says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the root fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's what I'm trying to do today. What appears as light, it is darkness. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light, being visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Wake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see where our meditation needs to be? It's praise to God for his son Jesus. And we have that relationship with Jesus because being born again of the Spirit, we have new life. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And there is still that battle within us until that time when we go home. there is that battle of good against evil. God wants our attention, and we can focus on him and go his way, or we can take our eyes off him and we can sink deeper in the mire. So where were you? Where are you now? You have an opportunity now to get the fullness of the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and let him lead you and guide you. Don't run ahead. Just let him lead you and guide you. So meditate upon where you are now. Just stop and think about where you are now. Then answer the question, where do I need to be? Where do I want to be? What is the future for me? All these things that I began talking about, they talk about the here and now, and they talk all kinds of stuff that isn't contrary to the scriptures. And I want you to think about what the scriptures teach us, that we need to focus on Jesus, that we need to meditate upon him and how he can help us through, and how his presence is with us always. He said, I am with you even to the end of the age. Sometimes we need to be rescued from where we are, and God is the one who will do that for us. He says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. May that be our prayer, that we ask God by his spirit to lead us on level ground. That we might go where he wants us to go. That we might do what he wants us to do. He gives us opportunities over and over again of a fresh start. The old is gone, the new has come. Please beware of the way in which the evil one will try to get in. And if we begin to empty ourselves of the truth that we know, then we are leaving room for the devil to come in and take control. Sad to say, that happens. Meditate. Not in an abstract way, not by chanting. What does the Apostle Paul say? Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, we are in a day and age when we can put on a CD, put on some Christian music, and we can join in. Coming up this morning, we prepared ourselves by listening and singing to some old-time gospel. Wonderful time of preparation. Meditate. What is it that is filling our minds? Be careful with what is filling your minds. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Apostle Paul says this, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will be able. Yes, our minds need to be filled with thoughts of God's love, with thoughts of Jesus, who's precious. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Sadly, When people talk about being part of the universe, and the universe is, we are just a part of the universe. Yes, we are, but we are not. The power does not come from the universe. The power that we can experience comes from God Himself, not the God of this world. There's so much more. I'm just touching on it. I want you to know this, that the writer of the Hebrews says about Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Please be open to the Spirit of God, not to the spirit of this world. It is seen as health benefits. But I want to warn you, because the health benefits are not the spiritual benefits that we need. May God help us as we examine where we are, where we've been, where we are now, where we want to be. What is the future? We sang in that first hymn about the joy of being in His presence, and that's the hope of the believer. You know, all the garbage that is taught about reincarnation and all that stuff, it's not true. Jesus is the one who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Our next place is home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our home is in heaven. A place that we look forward to being one day. But until that time, don't just sit idly by, but allow God's Spirit to lead you and guide you. Use this book as a guide. Psalm 119, verse 105. Does anybody know that? That was one that was drummed into me as a child. And it says this, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have found the scripture to be all that we need. There are many, many, many different theories, many, many different ways of dealing with things, and yet I've always come back to the realization that the Bible gives us the way. This is the most important book in the world. It's the most precious book in the world. How do we treat it? Let's feed more on the Word of God. Let's know Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't trust many things, but we can trust the one who died, was buried, and rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, crowned with glory and honor, who is coming again one day. What a prospect. May we be blessed as we recognize where we are and where we need to be and allow God to dwell in us. The next hymn that we will sing as closing is a hymn. The words were penned, and I did show you the story on video. A man who experienced so much hardship, and yet he knew through that, he said, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. See where the focus was of this man who lost so much. He lost so much materially. He lost so much of his family. But he recognized, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. This is a hymn of triumph and praise. Let's sing it, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Let's sing it triumphantly.
Christ.
Remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Help us, O God, to know the truth. And your word tells us that truth shall set us free. Lord, guard us, we pray, against the attacks of the evil one, who will try and infiltrate our minds and encourage us to go in the wrong direction. Help us to be firm, to know you, Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We come to you and praise you for your word. Lord, help us to meditate upon it. Help us to know your presence with us always. I ask you to lead us on. May we each know your blessing, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. Before I finish, I want to encourage you as you think about those three questions. Where have you been? Where are you now? And the future. I want you to think of that in terms of yourselves personally, but also as far as the church is concerned. God bless. Thank you.